Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. And then we'll go to a reading I believe that Tony read last week. It was 1 John chapter 1. But the first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. And now 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live to the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son purifies us from all sin. May God help us to fully grasp his word today as we reflect on it this morning. And if you keep your Bibles handy, because I'd like us just to refer to other verses shortly, as we consider this subject of fellowship. When we think about relationships, we have many and varied relationships. Whether we are in unity with our family, that's another thing. But generally, families are like a pump to us. They enthuse us, they build us up. And it's particularly sad at times when we lose a loved one because we lose something of ourselves. That's how good and positive relationships are. We have friends, we have acquaintances. In fact, somebody took a survey a while back and said, "Why do you go to church?" And they said, "Because our friends are there." And that's a good reason to be in church, but that's not the primary reason, of course. We have acquaintances, we have connections through social media. We can talk to people all over the world, which is quite amazing today through social media. But relationships are extremely important. You think about it for a moment. The relationships you have outside of here are so important. They enrich you. They are like pumps in our lives. But the Bible speaks very much about relationships. When Solomon was writing his diary in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he says this: two are better than one, and if one falls, the other one is there to help him up, or her up. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. I remember doing a wedding once, and the groom, who wasn't anything to do with church or Christianity, although he was marrying a Christian girl, and I'd sought some advice on how to manage that, and he said to me, "I don't want you to be too religious at the service. Don't want too much scripture. Just, you know, say what you have to say." So I used that verse, a cord of three strands is not easily broken, because I said, when God is at the center of a relationship, then you have unity. He still spoke to me after the service anyway, but anyway. But relationships are important, but fellowship is different to relationships. We have relationships in the church, but fellowship has a much deeper meaning. And that's because Paul says this: now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part to play. I do not believe that if people go to church just to go to church, that's anything like true fellowship. We come because we want to be in fellowship, because God has called us, the body of Christ, to come together in fellowship. Association in the body of Christ is vital today, I believe. Because there are so many people now that are lonely, that are without friends, that need a church. They need to be in fellowship. They need to be enriched as we are. We're called the family of God. Paul speaks about that you are sons of God, neither male nor female. And some say, well, why not sons and daughters? But of course, we've got to think about the history of the sonship. The son would receive the inheritance, but the women didn't receive, the daughters didn't receive anything. But God, through Christ and through the apostles in their teaching, said men and women are equal, and they receive the same blessing as men. Although we do have levels of responsibility, we are equal in the sight of God, sons of God. We receive the inheritance of God because of that. So the body of Christ is more than mere relationships. We have a closeness in spiritual relationships, I think, and we've experienced it here. There's no limit to what fellowship can give to one another. We can come from a very difficult situation. We can come into fellowship, and that fellowship really just homes us and shapes us and gives us a better feel about who we are. And that's because God has combined the body of Christ to be together. And so close we are, if we recognize that we are part of the body, we read these words. God has combined the members of the body. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. How true that is. That's fellowship. We feel for one another. We laugh with one another. We grieve with one another. You know, nobody is an island here. Everybody is part of something that matters. I remember Brenda, bless her, saying to me some time ago when I asked about what Lidbrook really was about. She said, there's something special about Lidbrook. There's something unique, and we don't want that to change. And I guess some have felt that that's gone. That somehow that uniqueness that we once had doesn't seem to be there anymore. And we wonder why. Now, I know different people come in and we have to, as it were, build one another up as we get to know one another. But I'll come to a bit more of that later on, if I may. Fellowship. The word fellowship means holding something in common. It's the word koinonia. It's the Greek word which means holding something in common. So if you've got your Bible still there, let's turn to Philippians chapter 12. I don't mean Philippians 12 at all. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 2. Now these are familiar words and we've probably read them many times. Paul writing, of course, again, it's his words, and he sees the body of Christ very much as companionship. Philippians 2 from verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Think about that. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be that of Jesus Christ. Attitude is everything. Imitating Christ's humility. Let's go on to 1 John 1 again. I think we read those just now, but let's just revisit them. First John, the letter of John, 6 and 7. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light of Christ, as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And that's the beauty of this, because fellowship is among believers. It is unique. People that go to the pub today, or whatever it might be, or to football, or even, dare I say, rugby. Let's not talk about Welsh rugby at the moment. But it's not the same as fellowship. This is what God has put together, because we share the light of Christ, and therefore we share in fellowship with him and with one another. As I've said before, we've all come from different backgrounds, and we do wonder how on earth God brought us here to Libra for a purpose. For a purpose. That we don't just make up the numbers, but we're here because God has brought us here for the purpose to bring glory to his name, holding something in common. So what is it we have in common? Somebody once sent this. In essentials, there must be unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. In other words, love in action. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity, love in action. Just want to unpack this for a moment. The essentials of unity. Paul says this: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I was given this at my ordination way back in 2004. Where have those years gone? And it's the Eugene Peterson's, the meshes. If you've got one of these, they're great Bibles. If you read the King James, then language is a bit different. But sometimes it's good to refer to what he writes about what I've just read from the NIV. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, and not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You are all called to travel on the same road in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one Master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all things. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness, the body of Christ. Essentials in unity. We've got different backgrounds and traditions. I remember a dear soul when we were ministering at Stone the Woad. Faithful prayer meetings, faithful in church. And I would talk to her and pray with her, and I said, why don't you become a member? I mean, that's a sore subject if you ever ask me. But why don't you become a member? She said, well, I've been coming here for the last 25 years, but I'm still an Anglican. She'd never change. She was still an Anglican. You know, backgrounds they're in us. They define who we are so often. There was an article in the Baptist Times when we used to have paper ones years ago, and it said, we Baptist Christians. You know, we're Baptists before the Christians. The body of Christ, we're all different. We all have different backgrounds. And our upbringing shapes us, but our belief system defines who we are. Paul says, I am what I am. am what I am. And he recognized that for him, Christ was Lord of all things. So unity is much deeper than we can consider so often. And some people say, well, hang on a minute. Isn't unity about agreeing with one another? No, it isn't. We can agree to disagree. Hallelujah, I'm pleased about that. So we can agree on, and we can disagree on the non-essential things of the body of Christ. But that doesn't mean that they're not important to us. Certain things are important to you, particularly those folk who have been coming to this church for many years, that you remember are very important, thinking about the history of those that have come through these doors, have ministered here and so on. And others that have come in over the years, you know that there are certain non-essentials that you like, certain things done in a certain way. I remember, again, back at the church at Stowe, it was an interesting place, still on the world where the winds blow cold, actually, it's true. And again, we had a huge pipe organ. It would be sort of over here, and it was lovely really, and when the organist was there it was great, and we'd sing the Ode Hymns, and I love the Ode Hymns, as you know, but because there was a younger element coming in, it was kind of agreed in a church meeting, where agreements were made, that we should buy one of these little chaps, Clavinova. No one could play it like you, Chris, by the way, I can tell you that now. And we had it over here, and I introduced the Clavinova gradually, because you can't just can't just throw it in and say we're going to do that, otherwise you know you will have troubles. And we had a bunch of ladies over where Barbara and Shirley are, not saying you're like this at all, but they would only sing when the organ was playing. Play the Clavinova to get it. And it kind of reminds me, and this is the experience I've had over the years, that most Christians fall out over matters of things to do in the church rather than to be church. Isn't that true? The little incidentals, it's not what it used to be like, and we don't agree with it. It's not important. It is important to you. It's not vital. It's not essential. God has joined us together, the body of Christ. And it's not our church. It's the building we look after, of course. But Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He builds us up as the body of Christ. Now I'm going to make a list here of the essentials, and none of these are negotiable. Anything outside of these is pure heresy. First of all, our belief system is this: the inspiration of Scripture. Absolutely fundamental. We believe it from cover to cover, and we don't add anything to it because that would be wrong. The Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the deity and Godhead of Christ, the virgin birth, the death and resurrection of Jesus, salvation by grace alone, by faith alone. Somebody once said, the worship of God, the work of God, is doing the will of God. The body of Christ. And this is what we hold to. This is what brings us together in unity. Yeah, there's matters of conscience and choice, and there's all sorts of things and convictions of our own standing which are important to you, but the essence of our unity is based on those six principles that I've laid down there. Anything outside of that is pure and absolute heresy. I'm coming to a close soon, friends. All things charity, all things in love. Love in action. Paul writing, and again in 1 Corinthians 13, it's a lovely chapter to read. And it's a chapter that's read at funerals and it's read at weddings. And it's a love. It's all about love. Love, he says, never fails. Where there's no love, you're making a lot of noise. And these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. We're going to look at some more scriptures briefly as we come to a close. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Wow. Wow. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Wow. And there should be commonality between us. If one part of the body is suffering, then we should know about it and help one another as we journey together. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19. Here's Paul praying. He's on his knees. He's on his knees because of the church. He wants the church to live in unity. He says this: so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, through Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You see, faith, hope, and love hang on. They hold to one another. They're united. They're in agreement. And what happens to one of those affects the other. So if we lose our love, our faith and hope is one thing, but we're not in agreement with that scripture. So in concluding, I come to that point I made earlier. Has Lidbrook lost that uniqueness, that something? Maybe some of us don't quite know what it is. I hope it is unity. I hope it is the essentials of unity. I hope it's love. I really hope that. So, but what causes disunity? First of all, those things that are not essential become the priority. You know, like I said, the clavinova over there, the organ. I mean, and they didn't sing because we played that, and it just didn't make any sense to me. But when we think about it, there are certain things of the fabric of the church and the way things were. They're important, but they're not essential. Convictions of traditions are more important than what God will do in the future. You know, what worked years ago might not be the way it will work in the days to come. With the anticipation of Joy Thorburn coming, she's young. Well, I don't know who she is, but she's younger than me anyway, and younger than most of us. But she's going to bring in a new dimension. I think it's going to be really exciting. And I think we need to run with her. She's going to make a few mistakes. She'll need us to help her along her way. But if she brings in a new, whatever it might be, providing it fits in with scripture and with the worship together, it's going to be great to have somebody coming in that we've not had for some time. Choosing to be an individual instead of part of the body. I just want to be in the church. I don't want to get involved. We're all part of the body. We can all be involved. We can all share together. Now, I'm talking generally, and I'm thinking of you there, Glenys, and I know you're part of another church, but I hope that message is for Gorsley as for his and other churches as well, that we have this unity with all churches. We have that agreement, providing we hold to the tenets of what we believe. I think the final thing why we do lose something at times here at Lidbrook, and that is the work of Satan himself. Now, I know that I don't want to be too negative about it, but the devil is negative and God is positive. The devil is not omnipresent, but he uses schemes and he subtly comes in to undo what God has put in place. That, at times, that little bit of gossip, you know, it's unnecessary. If we need to be honest with one another, let's be honest with one another. If you don't like me, why not say so? A bit too late, I've been here long enough, but there we go, part of the furniture. But no, let's be honest. You know, the enemy loves to use little trifles of gossip to separate. I believe the deacons in this church have a difficult job. You're not surprised to hear that. And the main thing is that they have to be in unity when there is, at times, disagreement. There has to be unity, there has to be agreement. There has to be an understanding of one another. And I hope our deacons, from the times I've spent with them, have proved that they are prepared to laugh and cry at one another, with one another. I think that's beautiful. Not one of them assumes to put their head above the parapet and say, I want it done this way. That doesn't work. When Tony mentioned the light, we're the only light in the area, the enemy is going to come in like a flood. He's going to come in and try to undo some of the things that God has put in place. But we can hold fast. We can stand. That's where we pray. It's battleship prayer times, I call them. It's when we stand together in agreement, in unity, against the forces of darkness. I encourage you to join us for prayer on Tuesday next week. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion looking for anyone he can devour. Anyone. Koinonia, fellowship, is holding something in common. The love for God, the love for one another. Participating together in going forward in the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus and the light of Christ will shine ever brighter here because we agree to live in unity according to what God has laid down in his word. And may his name forever be praised. Amen. We're going to